For the fans, by the fans. Well,
No. You need to, you know, when you're presenting this show, you need to sort of put a little bit more emphasis on it, you know. I know you're just back from the pond and that, you know.
You know I've got the microphone and I can turn you off. And I will do
I'm
that.
Only joking. Go on.
Whatever. Fans by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. That was not rehearsed. Coming up this week on the show, we say goodbye to one of our game's greatest supporters. We'll be remembering Alan Simpson. Plus, we'll step back on the managerial merry-go-round and meet some of the newest faces to come back into the National League. The Non-League Show in association with Audio Boom. Let's bring in the team. You've already heard him, and that is the first rule, Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
You should not speak until you're introduced.
I know. I'm only joking.
Not that you
I'm so glad to see you back.
Yeah,
you wouldn't understand.
Not that you need any introduction. Speaking of which, neither does he. From the National League, Colin Peake.
Hello, good afternoon, Caroline. Good afternoon to David.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, no funny business from you in pretending not to be there. Colin, I'm sure you have downloaded several times Dave Anderson's efforts from last week at Wembley. If you haven't, or
don't.
I don't really think, Caroline, this is a time to be slinging expertise in particular areas around after your guest tweeting on behalf of the National League in the FA Trophy last night.
Who invited you on? Yes. So someone asked me, Dave Anderson, if you weren't aware, because I know you're not au fait with social media. Someone asked me to tweet from the Chelmsford City debacle against Tranmere, the replay in the FA Trophy, which we lost 4-1. And I was well within my rights to give up tweeting after we went 2-0 down. But the National League...
You actually gave up on your club after one goal.
I did. Well, it was such a bad goal to concede the first one. We let them have two goals, which annoyed me. But a good run. Come to an end. And I tell you what, Mr. Peake, given all the glory of the ties, you've still got Dulwich against Macclesfield, York against Brackley, Bournemouth against Lincoln and Tranmere against Barrow. The glory of all those ties. Why do people say they don't want to be involved in the FA Cup? Why do these managers do it? Because the glory of the trophy, we were so close, Chelmsford, to getting to Wembley. And I am annoyed at us not being there, or at least not getting a stage closer.
Go on, Cole.
I'm very pleased. You know, if we start off with the trophy, that looking at the quarterfinals, we've got, with due respect, some heavyweights in there. You know, no disrespect to Lincoln and Tranmere, who are well in the hunt to be champions of the National League come the end of the season. But you've got York in it, you've got Macclesfield in it, who have both been to trophy finals previously, so they've got some good pedigree there. As you mentioned, Dulwich Hamlet, the only club outside the National League, you know, they're going to be a difficult tie at home. And I still have a little feeling that we often just get an outsider, and Brackley have got an excellent cut pedigree, as we all know, over the last couple of years. And Kevin Wilkin and the squad he's got seem to be really in and up for games like they've had in the cup and so far in the trophy.
Just a quick recollection for you. Does anyone remember this?
Number seven
is York City, who are comfortable 3-0 winners on Saturday, currently bottom of the National League.
Number six
will play Brackley Town, who had a fantastic 4-1 win at Wealdstone at the weekend, the National League North side.
That's Dean Brennan, who did the show last week with you, Dave Anderson. He got to draw the balls at Wembley.
I know, unbelievable.
And you didn't.
No, and he hasn't given me a drink or anything for it. And I wasn't jealous at all, as you can imagine. Yeah. Well, I thought it was good, though, because he won the thing, and it sort of came up because we did a show from Wembley. So, yeah, no, he's a good lad, and I'm delighted for him.
I'm starting the campaign now, Dave, for you and Colin to do the draw for the early rounds of the Vars, which will still be going if you both do it around about now.
I just want to say something about, you're talking about sort of trophy versus league and FA Cup versus league, and I've just drawn down a pound sign versus a heart sign, because the owners of these clubs and the hierarchy, or even get it out, the top people want the money, supporters want the love of being at Wembley Stadium, and I think it's sad that big cup competitions are starting to take sort of second preference over league positions now.
And that non-league day out at Wembley, Colin, is a thing to behold, isn't it? It's a real special occasion.
Yeah, and the difference between the pound sign and the heart that Dave's just mentioned, of course, not sort of being derogatory to the other six clubs in the quarterfinals, but in the shape of Tranmere Rovers in Lincoln City, who both, as ex-Football League clubs, must look at the chance of getting back in the Football League this year is probably their best shouts. They stand the chance of perhaps, of being in the FA Trophy final on Sunday the 21st of May, and yet on Sunday the 14th of May at Wembley as well, they could both be competing in the National League promotion final, and one wonders, what then is going to be the preference.
Yeah, interesting. So you could make a right old couple of weeks of it, couldn't you, down Wembley Way, if you're a fan of those clubs. But I still think Dulwich.
Grimsby did it last year, and York have done it previously. But it's interesting to see if you had the same two clubs. We've had the odd club. It'd be interesting if both the same two clubs were in the one final followed by the next final. It's then we'll really get a test of their character.
Doubleheader? Do a doubleheader. Do you remember? Do you know what that is? Don't look at me like that. It's a football expression.
The winner takes all.
You have just said to me, do you know what a doubleheader is? I'm about to whoop your ass and kick you out the studio. Yeah, that might happen. You are listening for the moment to Dave Anderson on the Non-League Show.
At the moment.
Do I know what a doubleheader is? It's in one of those old sci-fi movies, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And Colin Peake as well joining us. If you've got a comment to make back in retaliation to Mr. Anderson, you can get in touch with us at Non-League Show. Now to a bit of sad news this week. Non-League has lost one of its finest fans. Alan Simpson, OBE, president of Hampton and Richmond and writer of, amongst others, Steptoe and Son, has died at the age of 87. Alan Dowson is manager. What a sad week for the club.
Yeah, very sad. Awful, really. It's one of them things. I only knew the fella for 2.5 years, but never heard one bad word against him from anybody. Anybody in a football club, from the cleaners, the players, the management, the supporters, the directors. He was loved by everybody, and very sad loss to everybody in the football club, you know?
Yeah, known as Mr. Hampton, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had the Alan Simpson stand, which is, it's hilarious. I remember last year watching the Middlesex Cup with him, and he was complaining about the noise of the kids in the stand. But he was the one who built the thing, you know? stuff like that. So he's a great character. There's a lot of people at the football club who knew him for 20, 30 years, so I feel for them. I had the privilege of being there for 2.5 years and seeing him going around his house for a cup of coffee or whatever. And I thought he was a marvellous man, a gentleman. And he could never say a bad word against him. He was Mr. Hampton, yes.
And to be fair, Dice, I can say, from people outside, I've been there as a manager with several clubs and always found him engaging, never seen him in a bad mood, really. Good guy. But, in your period of time with him, what would be your best moment? What do you think the moment he would cherish with you and him?
The biggest thing, he had a lot of good years of Alan Devonshire and people like that, and I know that before, like you're saying, Dave, everybody loved him. Now, I used to pop down and see hello, but he got too excited in the promotion season. I used to be nervous myself, so I used to pop down more and more, and it was like, he was like, oh yeah, who we're going to sign, and he knew every single player, and he knew who we're going to play, and he knew how many points we needed. So to see his face, the style of football we've done it, and to see his face and won the championship, and to lift the cup, and to lift the trophy in the Alan Simpson stand. That's the memory I'll have, Dave, because I think it's a big tribute to him by him and the bankie looking at us, lifting the cup in his stand, and that's the memory I'll take away from it,
Colin, I remember it was about 10 years ago now when Staines were playing Stockport and the match was rained off about 10 minutes to go, and it was the first show I'd ever presented on BBC London. So we had 3 hours to fill, and I sat down and Alan just happened to be there, and he came and filled that 3 hours beautifully with his stories. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful moment for me personally, having watched and experienced his great comedies over the years, to his great writing over the years. Colin Peake, for you and for the league too, he was very much someone that embodied the beauty of non-league football, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was only fortunate to, or unfortunate, which way you want to put it, to meet Alan twice, and that was going there with my previous club before I joined the National League officially. And I always found it very entertaining in the boardroom, always pleased to talk about the game. And like I say, he had an enthusiasm, and up and down the country, we do have these people, and they are a sad lot when they pass on. But the legacy they leave to their club is you just can't count it in financial terms. Mm. You know, everybody always like going to Hampton because they definitely find him there. And I saw a little thing yesterday on social media where sadly his wife had passed away, and a comment that he'd passed then was, well, you know, I haven't got my wife, etc., but you know, the club is now my family. And I thought, yeah, that is you know, a great little quote of somebody who holds his club dear and can help them out, and he has done over the years. And that's sad to say. And thank you very much, Alan, for everything you've done, and you know, and to all family and friends, and for everybody at Hampton. The National League passes on our condolences.
Yeah, and that is something that's been echoed across non-league football. I know, Alan, and that quote that Colin mentioned, it's over 30 years since he lost his wife, yeah. and that saying it was part of his family. It was, wasn't it? He lived and he breathed Hampton.
Yeah, some next words from Colin there. It was, we would go down to, I remember, down to Tuna's Cup, just a cafe on the corner, and he would sit there with everybody else, and anybody who wanted to talk to him, he always had time for everybody. That's the thing I know, everybody, if it was a supporter, if it was somebody down the cup, or if every, you know, he had his own special seat in the cup, he had his own special seat at the ground, and, you know, like, not one person, not one would turn his nose, he would talk to everybody, and so I think it's a great gift to have, especially nowadays, and what he achieved in his life, and to have that thing that, you know, he's not big on the club, it was his club, he was Mr. Hampton, but he really was Mr. Hampton because everybody knew he was, because he talked to every single person who would come up to him, you know.
Yeah, a brilliant man. Alan, I know you've got to get off to training. Doing all right in the league at the moment? I mean, how much will you be kind of remembering him with the players, with the club as well, and looking really to use that?
Yeah, of course, not a doubt. He'd be looking down at one. He'd be the first one that you'd be looking at one Saturday, that's for sure, you know. And we're doing it here. We're just going to keep on. Obviously, lost a few players, trying to get a few in, but we'll be Alan's spirit and keep it kicking on, you know.
Alan, thanks very much for joining us on the show. And
all the
best to the club and to the family of Alan Simpson as well.
Yeah, here.
Alan Dowson, manager at Hampton and Richmond, remembering Mr. Hampton on the non-league show. And he was one of those guys you could just, whether he knew you or not, you could just walk up to him and start talking about non-league football.
And you know, it was funny. I spoke to Alan about him, obviously, when I heard the news. And I remember I must have spoke to him three or four times on three or four occasions before I actually realised what he did and who he was. He never once mentioned what his daytime job was, which isn't always the case, as we know, in that sort of environment. And was such a nice guy, you know. But had a really good time down there. And you know, I feel for everyone, Alan, and everyone at the club, obviously, for it, Carcass, you know.
And Colin, just finally on this point, it's wonderful to see all these messages from other non-league clubs, and it's just a shame, isn't it, that Alan couldn't have seen what he meant to all these clubs now that he's passed.
Yeah, and Hampton and Richmond Borough have only recently come back into the league. They were in before, so Alan is probably not somebody that a lot of people listening to the programme will have come across. Obviously, like Dave says, you know, all the clubs around London that have played in the Isthmian League will know him through having met him on umpteen occasions. But as I say, I can only re-echo what I've just said. He'll be so missed because he was part of the fabric. And, you know, with due respect to Alan, we do have people like this who are the lifeblood of all our clubs and are part of the heritage that make non-league such a great sport to be in.
Right, I said we'd step on the managerial merry-go-round. Steve Burt wasn't out for a job long, or wasn't out of a job long. Wasn't out for one either.
Yeah.
After leaving National League's Southport, he's hooked up with Northerners Stalybridge Celtic and joins us now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right. Whichever way you look at it, you're all right now too, aren't you?
Well, it's not nice when you get the sack. Obviously, it's disappointing, but it's nice to be back involved so quickly. I mean, when I left Chester, I got offered a job virtually 3 days after, and I just said at the time, look, you know, I can't do it. I was going to wait and see what happens, but you wait and see what happens, and it takes a bit of time. You're a lot longer out of the game. So, you know, this time when the opportunity came and I was offered the job at back at Stalybridge, I was happy to accept it.
And hi, Steve, it's Dave. To be fair, you're spot on. I'm thinking that most managers who listen, we all get the sack. That's part of the deal. But very few walk into a job a couple of days later. So, one, congratulations. Two, how did it come about?
Well, I think it came about after I'd left Southport. You know, I got sacked on the Sunday from Southport, and then, you know, it was a call from the chairman at Stalybridge to say, would I be interested? You know, they've not been winning matches, and I said, well, look, you know, you need to sort things out at your end. There was a bit of discussion to and fro in, and I was happy to accept the position on, I think it was yesterday. So it's just nice to have got back in so quickly.
And I've just drawn a big circle here because it's full circle really for you, isn't it?
It's mainly because he can't draw a square.
But it is, it's a little bit, I mean, you know, of going back as well, you know, that never go back stuff, but it's obviously it's a big roundabout.
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody earlier today about, you know, the thing about going back. And as a player, I went back to three clubs, Macclesfield, had two stints there, had two stints at Hensford, and two periods at Stafford Rangers, and enjoyed them just as much as the first time I was there. I've never gone back as a manager. It'll be the first time I've gone back to manage a club that I'd managed before. But, you know, I had a successful period at Stalybridge to get, you know, to move me on to Kidderminster at the time. But that'll count. That what you've done in the past counts for nothing. I have to go in there now and earn the respect of the people there and start winning football matches for them. I think that's obviously the main thing. And hopefully, you know, I can do that. But what you've done in the past counts for nothing. It's what you do now.
How's it been for you, Steve? Because you're kind of bouncing around so quickly between clubs. Do you feel like you've not had an opportunity to really lay the law down on how you see a club developing when you've got relatively short time at these sides?
Apart from Southport, where I was only there for 4 months, I've managed to sort of, you know, stick around, you know, Chester, Kidderminster, the other clubs I've been at, Northwich and what have you. So, hey, it was disappointing with Southport, obviously, because I felt I knew I'd give everything I had, but obviously they felt that wasn't enough. So it was disappointing, but hey, they've got their reasons and what have you. But, you know, I'm not the type of person to go slagging Southport off for the decision they've made. You know, I think hey, people can make their own minds up, and that's what they do. So, you know, all in all, I think from when I went in there to where they were when I got sacked, I feel that we'd improve things. It was a difficult one, but hey, you move on, and you know, that's Andy Priest has gone in there, and I wish him well, and I hope he gets given the time to, you know, to get the club back in the right direction.
Colin and Dave, I know, want to ask questions.
Yeah, hi, Steve.
Oh, go on, Colin.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Colin.
Hello, Steve. Well, we've known each other for probably about 15 years now, since you were at Northwich Victoria. And like you say, you know, the Southport reign has been your shortest of any tenure as a manager. But obviously, going back to work again with Rob Gorski, obviously, is he still based in Monaco where he used to be?
Yes, he is, yeah. I mean, that was obviously a factor. because there was a couple of other offers that came quite quickly as well after I'd finished at Southport. And but obviously knowing Rob and knowing the people at Staley Bridge, they're good people there, and they just want the club to start winning games again. And to be fair, I think, you know, with Paul Phillips there as manager before, it was a difficult job for him inheriting the squad that was struggling, and it's always difficult. But hey, Rob's made that decision to part with Paul Phillips, bring me in, and hey, I'm just looking now to try and obviously try and keep him in the division, which is going to be really tough. But longer term, like I say, just, you know, to start winning more matches.
Yeah, I was going to say to you, because it's almost out of the frying pan and literally into the fire, because obviously the big issue at Celtic at the moment is they're adrift somewhat. I know they're not bottom, but they are adrift. And as you will know, as a seasoned manager, part of the artist's job is to get your club onto the edges of the relegation. So you've got quite a hard battle. In fact, some people might say it's impossible, but hopefully, you know, you going in will give them a resurgence, and hopefully, you know, you'll be in with a fighting chance. Do you think you believe that is the problem, first of all, that you've got to make those first few points up to get back in the race?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've been around football long enough, Colin, and while there is an opportunity and while you've still got a chance, you keep going. And one thing, you've heard the saying, nothing's impossible. I did stipulate in one thing about if I'm going back and I do manage to keep them up, then, you know, I want Rob to build a statue outside the ground. but no, on the serious side, I know how difficult it's going to be, but I think over the years I've come up against some real big challenges in the game, and I enjoy the challenge, and this will be one of the it's without a shadow of a doubt, but it's going to be very difficult. But I think longer term for the club is, like I say, to get them back to winning matches and get that, you know, that feel good factor back, and, you know, the people behind the scenes and the supporters being proud of the fact that the club are winning football matches and not losing all the time.
If anyone does know of another non-league manager that's been immortalised in a statue at non-league show, let us know. It could be a first. There's a first to have. A couple of other subtitles for you. Rob Gorski, of course, is the chairman at Staley Bridge. And on the subject of Andy Priest going in at Southport, he's the 10th boss at Southport since April 2013. Sorry, Dave, go on.
No, that's what I was going to sort of make the point of. I mean, I think my memory's not brilliant, but I remember when Steve went in, I questioned how the relationship would be between Liam Watson and him. Do you remember?
Liam Watson, former Southport boss, now director of football.
You know, I'm always interested in them relationships. I'm not surprised Steve won't say much about it, but it's a genuine question. And 10 changes in, what, 2.5 years, something like that? That doesn't make great reading for anyone, Steve, does it?
Well, it doesn't. And, Charlie's been there for years, hasn't he, at the club? And, you know, he is what he is. He's, you know, he's been there a long time, and there's been a lot of changes. But, he's the chairman. He makes the decisions. And at the end of the day, you have to respect that. And, like I say, he feels that I wasn't the man to take them forward, and that's his opinion. And
sure,
I can't, you know, I'm not going to change that. But I've had my time there, and I must say, in that 4 months that I was there, we enjoyed the cup run, beating Chester, then playing in against Fleetwood. So
sure. And Steve, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm also interested in the relationship with you and Lee. I mean, he's a recognised manager himself, and you know, managers, we all want to do it our way. How did that work? And I'm not, you know, I'm just asking you, what was the relationship? How did it work?
Well, it worked in the way that I would approach Liam about a player, and he would go to the chairman, and then we either did it or we didn't do it. It was simple, basically. There might have been one or two conflicts of opinions on players, which there's going to be, you know, at the end of the day.
Who'd the final say on it then, Steve?
think, to be honest, it would be it would have come down to everybody agreeing, really, I think. And it's something, hey, I must admit, it's something I've never had a director of football at a club before to work with. I've always dealt directly with the chairman. And it's been, look, can I bring this player in? Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yes, we've got the money to do it. No, we haven't. So,
sure. Would you recommend it?
If you're asking my own opinion, yeah. I think it would work better. Hey, I can understand it now, probably higher up, where dealing with contracts and all that type of thing. But I think the managers should really be left to say.
I think knows the answer you're giving me.
possibly. And
I appreciate your honesty.
I've got no problem with it because the game has changed in that respect. You never heard of a director of football 10, 15 years ago. Maybe you did in the Premiership and things like that, but it's filtered down. So, you know, it's one of those. But I've got no axe to grind with Liam and the chairman there. I wish them all the best, and hopefully they can bring the success that they're looking for at Southport Football Club.
I think Dave wants to give you an amen around about their directors of football.
Yeah, and to be fair, I'm not trying to get any sort of be clever to get Liam and sort of Steve into a war of words. I'm just always genuinely interested in how this works. And does it work? Is it the real thing? And I'm of the opinion that Steve's trying to say is that I don't think it's required at our level, but that's just, again, my opinion and Steve's.
Yeah.
Of course, if someone offers you a director of football, Dave. Sorry, Steve.
No, I wouldn't disagree, really. I think, we talk about the Conference Prem now has changed so much since I was playing in it, you know, 20, 30 years ago even. It's changed in the way that it's grown, and the TV exposure and the sponsorship and all that. And the Conference Prem now is a really well-run professional league, and behind the scenes as well. But I think that pressure nowadays at all clubs, it doesn't matter where you are, and, you know, they talk, you hear the term of, oh, it's a long-term project. You do not get long-term projects in football unless you're winning.
Yeah.
If you keep winning, you're going to stay in a job. If you're not winning matches, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be Southport, Kiddy, Chester, wherever it is, the Eastleys. If you're not winning, you know as a manager that the club will get rid of you.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be that's the way of life at the minute for a manager. Two games, if you haven't won, three games, you know, four games, oh, it's a crisis, you know, everybody's not talking to everybody else, and it's all, you know, it gets all ugly and all that type of thing. And it's a shame, really, because this sort of thing didn't happen a long time ago. You know, they'd stick with you. And I look back at my time at Kiddy, and we had a real. I remember the season when we had a real bad start to the season, and I think we'd lost the first five, we'd drawn the next five, and really, I even said to the chairman at the time at Kiddy, look, I've got no gripes about you getting rid of me if you think it's not working. He said, no. He says, we're going to stick with you. We're more than confident that you can put this club. And after that point, we had a terrific run. We nearly ended up getting promoted. And last day, Mansfield just tipped us at the final post. But I look back at that and think, yeah, you know, I think you've got to stick by your manager through thick and thin. And obviously, if it gets to a point where it gets untenable and there's too many losses, then you hold your hands up and you go, hey, but really, is 10 games the time to be looking at it?
Nah.
It's one of those. But that's just the way it is. That's the life of where we're at the minute. Premiership right down to Conference North, the Evo Stick, the Ryman's, all them type of clubs. If you're not winning, the manager knows that I might be just told that I'm not no longer required.
Well, for the reasons of your ability to talk football and to come on and talk for us, I, for one, am glad you're back in the game.
Yeah,
again,
good
so
luck
quickly.
As well, mate. I really mean that.
Steve, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank I am, Steve. Caroline, as well, because I love driving through to the games on a Saturday, listening to your other shows that you put on, which is fabulous, as you know. So, but no, all the best to everybody there. And Colin, you know, does a great job. He's done a, he's a terrific guy in non-league and that, and wish him well.
Yeah, we'll see you on travel, Steve, no doubt.
Take care,
no doubt,
Steve.
Yeah. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye, thanks.
Steve Burr, the new manager, stroke old manager, not good, in terms good, of his age, know, at Stalybridge.
Good interview. No, I don't mean good. Good. The interview's going to be good if someone's up to talk about it.
Mm.
And you're always, and I know what it's like, you're always wary of saying the wrong thing. You don't want to appear bitter. You don't want to appear sour grapes. You know, you want to try and say the right things. But reading between the lines, I don't think he's a great lover of directors of football. And I have to say, I agree with him. I wonder what the deal is with it, you know, that it can't be a relationship between you and the manager. What I would say, and I'll let Peaky come in after it, is I put down here, director of football, you know, it's always a big question mark. If you're going to have a director of football, it's probably better that you do have an ex-manager, because at least they know what they're talking about. You know, so, but I've never, it's...
I'm just waiting for the day, Caroline, when Dave Acker, Jeremy Paxson, asks somebody one of these questions, and he really does get the answer that he's been waiting for donkey's years.
I don't think he knows then, what the answer is that he wants, actually.
Yeah, I only want the truth.
Yeah,
you can't handle the truth.
Full of bleeps, Dave. The show will be full of bleeps.
Yeah.
Talking of bleeps, I think you did very well, Mr. Peake, not to jump in and keep saying it's the National League.
To be fair, you see, whilst I have to remember the brand title, one of the things, funny enough, if I'd have been allowed to come in, ask Steve a question. Steve has played many years in the league and he's managed many, many years. So it's not something that trips off the tongue very easily with Steve, because he's been so used to the conference as a player and a manager. And I've got his record in front of me, and it is phenomenal, really. And one of the questions I was going to ask him was based on what did he think of the standard of the National League, the Vanarama National, this season? Because we still do get a lot of people who say, oh, well, because we've got all these teams vying at the top, so it can't be good. You know, well, I've been with this league for 20 years, and believe you me, I think this is the best year standard right across the board that we've got.
Mm. Oh, no, yeah, I heartily agree with that. I wonder if there is a stat that maybe you have got, and I hope you haven't, which is how many directors of football have we got in the National League at the moment?
I wouldn't have thought many at all, if any. I think sometimes people just are given a title for some reason of being given a title, as opposed to, you know, is that a specific role? I mean, we have things like chief executive officers and managing directors and, you know, a lot of Americanisms in job titles. And one wonders, is it just the name they're given, but what is their actual brief behind that name? You know, I've got a title, believe it or not, when I sign all my documents off, that says Media and Partner Support Director. Well, I can tell you what I do in the National League on a daily basis has often got nothing at all to do with those two roles. You know, so I could be jack of all trades down, but you wouldn't really want to call somebody in your organisation jack of all trades, probably.
No. Therapist, maybe, when it comes to you. Colin Peake from the National League with us. We're going to talk to a vice chairman next.
Woohoo!
Well, from managers on the move to grounds, or at least clubs on the move next. You may remember we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Nen Park, once the envy of all non-league football grounds, was to be demolished. Well, the former home of Rushden and Diamonds, of course, the club born out of the ashes of that ground and very much that club, AFC Rushden and Diamonds, are also on the move. John Ward is vice chairman. Hiya, John.
Hi, Caroline.
Shall we all have a moment for Nen Park before we move on to the future? I mean, we did quite a bit on this on the show a couple of weeks ago. What a big old shame that is.
It is a big old shame. You know, although saying that, a lot of the fans are fairly sort of philosophical about it now. You know, we've as a club, we've never actually played in it. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, look, you know, let's move on. But you can never take away the memories and the fantastic times that it brought for everyone, really.
Yeah, look at the beautiful club you've got as a result now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And run in a way that you know, we feel is the right way to run a club. And, you know, when we all stood on the terraces and cheered the team on at Nem Park, no one would have ever believed that we'd be at this stage that we are now.
Well, we will allow Colin Peake and Dave Anson, or I will allow them to ask a question in a moment. But tell us where you're going then, where you'd been and what this will mean for the club.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've been playing at Wellingborough Town, 6 miles outside of our home conurbation, as it were. And we've been playing there for 4 years now. And the landlord has decided that he doesn't want us to be ground chairman in Wellingborough anymore. So issued us notice back in the summer, as was his right with the lease, which meant we've had to go out and find somewhere else. So we presented to the members about 3 weeks ago the three options, and there seemed to be an immediate overwhelming sort of feel as the main option, or one of the options, was to go back to Rushton and to play at Haydon Road, which is now Rushtonheim United's ground, who play at Step 6. But was the old Rushton Town ground before it merged to share an empire with Earthmore Diamonds.
So this is very much a return home then?
It's a return home to our home conurbation. Obviously, we've never played as a home team in Haydon Road in Rushton. When we played there as a Step 6 club, we got 1,154 as a crowd there for a Step 6 match. So it shows the potential that there is. And, you know, we're hoping that a lot of those will come back. There's a real buzz about the club and the place now. And it's good for the local community, really.
Colin, those are the sorts of fan levels you'd love in the National League. I know you get them, but that shows a big club in the offing.
Yeah, I, to be fair, I know the old Rushton very well and the Earthenborough Diamonds before it all merged together, and we know all the history to do with that. So it is pleasing to see the name of Rushton and Diamonds back in, because I think it still has a soft spot in a lot of people's hearts in football, although obviously there may be quite a few who are not happy with it because what happened. But going back into Rushton, what's your average crowd at the moment, John, away in Wellingborough?
We're averaging about 470 at the minute in Wellingborough.
Going
back to Rushton, then you reckon that as long as you're successful, that you could double that at least?
Possibly. I mean, for our projections, we've been very cautious in what we expect. But the amount of people that are talking about it, I mean, I would have thought, you know, for the first couple of matches, we should get some very big crowds. And it may settle down to, you know, 100, a couple of hundred more than we're currently getting. But, you know, it depends what the team do on the pitch as well, doesn't it?
How does that compare, John, to other clubs in your league at the moment?
We are pretty much the best supported in the league at the moment. I think the other closest one is something like 280 or something. So we are, you know, not far off double. So, you know, we're still pretty much up there. I mean, we've seen at Wellingborough, we've seen our sort of gates probably fall about 7 to 8% each year, and so we're hoping that, you know, by going back into Rushton, that you know, people will come back on board.
Can I quickly ask you, John? Obviously, the financials of your ground share that you've had at Wellingborough has a certain remuneration on it. Is that going to be higher or lower coming back into Rushton, obviously from the point of view of ground share costs?
It will be very similar. I mean, they're as an ongoing cost for the actual moving, and obviously because they currently play at Step 6, we need to do a fair bit with regards to ground grading. So, you know, and the actual moving of items, obviously when we move to Wellingborough, We built certain, you know, the piece of the bank terrace, for example, we built it so that it was movable. You know, it's not, you know, it takes a while to move it, but it was movable. And so we're able to take a lot of stuff with us, but we anticipate probably the cost of moving and the cost of getting it up to ground grading is probably about £40,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have thought my knowledge of it would have been quite a high figure. But long term, what sort of prospects have you got about having your own ground? And if you thought of that, or is there anything in the offing, even if it's a couple of years down the line?
Quite possibly. I mean, the good thing about the current NEM Park situation is it's kind of brought the council, or the main people at the council, to have some discussions with us, and we've been, you know, had a number of meetings with them, and one of their key aims is to ensure that they find us somewhere permanent, a piece of land within the conurbation of Rush and Higham Erthingborough. So, you know, ongoing, we're very the future's very bright, and we're looking forward to being able to establish that piece of land and be able to have a facility that you know, we can be proud of. Well, we're proud wherever we are, but you know what I mean.
Sorry to hog this, Dave, but obviously, you know, it's part of the fabric that I'm aware of, because I always thought with AFC Rushden & Diamonds, whilst obviously the main stadium at NEM Park was a bit beyond anybody's means, obviously they had other football pitches laid out there, and I wondered, especially the sort of secondary pitch they had there, whether that was ever an option that you could have looked at.
Possibly. I mean, we've always said that we will look at any opportunity that will bring the club back to playing within its, you know, its home conurbation. And occasionally that kind of thing has been muted. Obviously, it was a little bit difficult with the current owner of the ground and all that kind of thing. So it wasn't easy to be able to do. And we also kind of wanted to go and establish ourselves and you know, get ourselves up and running. And you're right, it's not just the first team, because actually we've got 34 community academy, girls teams, etc. So we're not just looking for one pitch somewhere. We're looking for a facility that's going to be able to cater for the whole club and the whole community.
When Colin Peake met John Ward on the Non-League show.
To be fair, I've just...
Should we tell them what happened? Yeah, I was desperate for the toilet and I ran. And I said to Dave, here's some questions to ask John whilst I'm at. I've just run back in panting, and he said, don't worry,
Colin. I haven't said a word. Piggy's interviewed him. I swear that's the truth. And to be fair, I'm sitting here with a question. Just tick, yep, that's that one ticked. And yeah, that's that one ticked, you know. So all I'd like to say is have a nice day, John.
Thank you very much. What worries me, speak with you, Dave.
What worries me, Dave, is I knew what she wanted to do, so I took over it so she could run away, and then she comes back, embarrasses me, and puts me trying to help her out.
John, you're my new favourite.
Charging her.
John, thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks
look after
very
yourself
much.
And good
Thanks,
luck
John,
with the ground.
All
take care, everyone.
And
Kaz, thank you very much.
Kaz promises to listen to the interview, don't you? Because you haven't heard a word of it.
I did hear a word of all of it.
Yeah.
John Ward from AFC Rushden & Diamonds joining us on the Non-League show. So did you enjoy that interview?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, it was really good. Had
well
a cup
done,
of
Colin.
Tea, put my feet up.
He's lovely. Got a new title, Colin the Presenter Peak. That's almost it for this week, mainly because I can barely talk, having run to the toilet.
Am I not allowed to talk about the Army FA?
Yes, I know. I was coming to that point.
Yes.
Blimey. Oh, sorry.
You give him 5 minutes of airtime.
No, to be fair, call me and Kaz are going for lunch. Crack on. We'll be back in an hour.
Oh, and I've missed bargain hunt, and I'm not very happy about that.
Colin Peake now will talk to you about the Army FA. Actually, in all seriousness, Colin, this is a big old pat on the back again. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, we as a lot of people will know, is over the last couple of years, we've built a very strong relationship with the Army FA. Part of that is signing up to the Armed Forces Covenant, which helps to recognise the service that personnel are given, and that they're given the same crack in civilian street when they come out of the armed forces. There's other tie-ups that have been made through our sponsors, Vanarama, to help some of the service personnel, help them create their own business, you know, when they leave, so they're not dependent if they've got those skills. And a lot of Army personnel will have those skills. And what, as part of that, it was really that I got invited to a dinner by Lieutenant General James Bashaw, who's sort of UK Land Forces commander. And at the dinner, I was sat down next to Major General. Sounds really posh, this, but they're very nice people, down to earth. And Major General Mitch Mitchell, who is chairman of the Army FA. And he during the dinner, he's just talking to me about different things and how we could cement our relationship even further. And so out of that embryonic idea at that dinner, we came up with the opportunity of the Army FA playing in the National League, but not in just a one-off game.
Mm.
We're actually going to play them three times, and we're actually going to play them three times on the same night. And the night we've chosen is Wednesday, the 29th of March, when, according to everything, there's nothing else on. There's no TV football. There's no international football. And those games are going to be held at Harrogate Town, Tamworth and Eastbourne Borough. And the connection between them, well, they're all our new three clubs with 3G pitches. So again, planning those matches, they're not likely to be called off. And so the respective managers, Simon Weaver, Andy Morrell and Tommy Widdrington, have got the job of selecting the players, but they will all be selected from the North and South clubs. There won't be any from the National League. But it's Wednesday, the 29th of March, £5 for adults, free for seniors and juniors, and even the adults, if they pay £5, get a free programme. And we'll have a band, Vanarama, sponsoring all the kit that the National League players are playing in. And it's just going to be a great evening to celebrate, you know, and come along and say thanks to our armed forces as well.
And all the information will be on the National League website.
I was just going to say, I think it's brilliant to support any of our armed forces. You know, they do a great job for us, and I think it's a great idea, and I hope it's a real success.
Just want to quickly mention some messages we've had into at Non-League Show. Romford are about to celebrate their 25th anniversary. First public meeting was the 20th of February 92. There's a souvenir programme on Saturday against Witham. Thank you, Derek, for that one. Mark wants us to talk about Hungerford Town, population of 5,000, up to fourth in the National South, 11 games unbeaten. We'll try and get the manager on next week. And Steve-O says, 8 games in a row, top of the league, 10 points clear, and an away derby Senior Cup semi-final at Blyth Town this month. You two want to guess which team he's talking about?
No.
Blyth Spartans.
I wasn't listening.
I wonder what you said there, Blyth Town, and I thought, no, surely she means Blyth Spartans, but... You know,
no, they've got so Blyth Spartans are playing at Blyth Town in the
Oh, is there a Blyth Town and a Blyth Spartan? I was not aware of that, and I apologize to those people.
Can we just have a moment?
Yeah,
we've taught Colin Peake something.
Every day's a school day,
yeah. Well done, that man.
Every day. Good day, and as long as Dave's not my headmaster, I don't care.
he's got two words to say about that. Something else that's caused debate at the moment on social media, across social media and across the world of grassroots football, is another debate, this Commons debate that's happening today, Thursday, as we record this, on whether the FA has the ability to reform itself or whether legislation is needed to force it to change.
Yeah,
we asked people just what they'd like to see from their FA. Some talking about transparency. They want to see diversity as well. Loads of different areas that people want to focus on. Dave Anderson, something you want to see from the FA?
I do want to see some reform. Have they got the ability to reform themselves? I'm not sure they have. Will the Commons put in the proper legislation so that they do reform themselves? I'm not so sure. But, you know, the one thing I always have a dig at the FA whenever I think it's needed. they've done lots of good things, but I just think the structure is from a different age. It's dinosaur stuff. So I think there's a major restructure required. How do you do that? I have no idea.
Colin?
Well, I think, to be fair to them, that they have already got restructure. There's a lot of people have left. There's a lot of departments have been streamlined. Different people have been moved sideways into other roles which they think fit best their abilities and qualities. And I'm always, and this is just generally in life, this isn't just about football, I'm always very cagey about government controlling what are really private businesses or, I know football is slightly a bit more than that because it goes right across a lot of strands and parts of life. But, are the government really going to be able to outweigh the money that is currently in the game? And we just wait to see how China develops. I wonder whether they control football.
I'm not entirely sure what to respond to that. Should we just leave that thought?
Yes, that's your thought for today.
But that winds me up about, seeing as we've got onto the subject of China, isn't this what the Premier League did when all the best players and managers started coming in first? So it's just another movement. This time it's in China.
Yeah, and unless someone changes the rules, what are they doing to break them?
Anyway, this is the non-league football show.
I do think, and because I like the last word, as you know, I do think that it's good news that someone's poking the cage a little bit to go, come on, make sure you're on your game. I just think the problem is that it's all right to say we need reform and we need it restructured, like I say, but then who comes up with the idea? Because I certainly have no idea how I'd structure it.
Something that struck me today, interesting if you follow, as we do at Non-League Show, all of the local county FAs, most of them have been tweeting today about successes. So this is just the latest one coming in as we recall this. Hampshire FA has 799 clubs on the whole game system portal since its launch, bringing it all together. Hashtag efficient, they say. Hashtag for all at FA on that one. And I know that if you have a look through all the county FAs, they've been tweeting today talking about successes at the grassroots game with 3G pitches, with getting more involved. Yeah. And West Riding FA say our priority is to provide every participant with an opportunity to develop in a progressive environment too. That, again, they've just tweeted that in the last few minutes.
And finally on that point, Caroline, I think one of the things that we, as a nation, culturally wise, particularly in social media and everything, it's so easy to pick up and be negative about everything. There's a lot of good things going on in this game. And hey, the National League, we don't get it all right. We've got a different way of working to the Football League, the Premier League, the Isthmian and everybody else. But that's who we are. And we try and do things differently and we don't get everything right. But I'll tell you what, behind the scenes, we do a bloody lot of things right. And we don't get the credit for it. Not that we're asking for it, but sometimes all we do is in life is pick out a negative. And there is so many positives. We've had a positive early on with Alan Dowson. We've had a positive with ANC Russian Diamonds with John Ward. We've had a positive with Steve Burr. There's a lot of positives going on. He's gone in to take up something in a club, Steve, which is very negative at the moment. And if he doesn't go in being positive, what hope have they got?
You have been listening to the thoughts of Colin Peake. If you have missed any of this show, like me, otherwise detained, you can download it in full, as you already have done too. And we are here every week. Dave Anson, last point from you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the Clapham Ultras have ended their boycott just to have another positive.
Yeah, we had the Ultras the club, on the show just over a month ago.
They I've just got the statement that they've ended it. I don't know how, why, or
there's been an agreement over it. It was over price increases in the ground. Maybe I needed something else when I went to the tour. Over price increases in the ground. They've come to an agreement with the club. It looks like they're talking again now and they're going to continue to talk as they go forward. All that positiveness is making me feel a little sick, so we'll have to go. Colin, thank you as always.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, David. It's
cheers, mate.
A pleasure. Never a chore.
Dave cheers, Anson, mate. As always, Sue. That being said, about all the positive nature as well, you will see more, no doubt, come out. And Greg Clark himself, chairman of the FA, has turned around and said, yes, we know there's stuff to reform. Mm. And yes, I'm going to try and push that through too. So keep your suggestions coming how you'd like to see your FA grow as well at Non-League Show to keep that conversation going throughout the week. But from all of us now, goodbye. Any of you can say goodbye. You don't have to wait for me.
Goodbye, boss.
Not just to me.
Goodbye.
No, back no to I mean it's goodbye.